So this year's sponsored and dedicated initial is Yitzhak ben Naftali, Fruma bas Avram, the roadside, one of the Talmidim's grandparents, and that's mitzad, the sponsor of the Kiddush, of the breakfast, is in the Nishmazem. Mitzadeinu, it's also a shtikula Sudas Haigor that we have back with us, one of our close friends, certainly from our personal perspective, Machavrusa, or Chavrusa Misosa, I almost felt it literally this man, who hasn't been well. And it was a frightening experience. It was a difficult time for everybody. And Baruch Hashem is back with us, and he's well. And b'chasdei shemayim, mamash, enormous chasdei shemayim. So we want to, from the yeshiva's perspective, just to, he's not making the suda seidah, we're making the suda seidah. And to welcome back Rav Daniel Gelb. And to have him back with us and to see him here is a big simcha. I want to thresh out with you guys. Gorim ha-yoytzim en ha-leiv, a sugya that I believe is central. And I want to thresh it out in a Jewish environment with Lom Deuteri, with Talmid Chachomim, and see if we can try and get a little bit of an understanding of a very Halacha l'maisa sugya that touches on a lot of areas and a very difficult sugya, but one that I believe if one can toifes is a big yeshua. There's a klal that in any series of 10 things, the 10th is the most important. Now we're going to the rise for the klal. There's a klal, take it as a given. When one looks at the Ten Commandments, what we call the Ten Commandments, the last of the Ten Commandments is Lo Sachmud. If I was writing up the Ten Commandments, I don't know if Lo Sachmud would have hit me as being the pillar upon which, you know, everything stands. The Ten Commandments are a microcosm of the 613 mitzvahs. And the tenth is always the most important. Malchus, that's the most important. And Lo Sachmud, he would have told me Shabbos. You would have told me Losietzach. Those are partially the things I could have worked out. Wanting what somebody else has got wouldn't have hit me as being like, you know, the worst thing in the world to do. And yet it seems to be something that is incredibly, incredibly serious. And as we go through the sugya, we'll see how serious it is. What's wrong with wanting what someone else has got? I'm not going to take it. Losig that I understand. Understand that somebody's got something, you can't go take it. If you want it, you take it. That's a naughty thing to do. It's not yours, you can't take it. That I understand. Even the ants know that. We learn Xayla from the ants. But wanting it? I've got a fancy new car and whatever, and I'm into diesel engines and whatever, and I want the car. I want it. I might even offer to buy it from him. I'm prepared to pay for it. I worked hard for my money. I've paid my taxes, and I want to buy it. What is so terrible about this? The Torah is telling us this is the worst you can do. There's nothing worse than this. What's so bad about it? So bad about it. We know Shleisha Dvorim Yotzes Adam in Ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a beautiful world, a fantastic world. And yet, there's Shleisha Dvorim that take a person out of this beautiful world and put him into another world where there's bitterness and there's strife and there's a lack of happiness. Rav Dest already talks about it, that if you go through the world and you'll interview all the different kinds of people in the world, you won't find one happy man. You won't find a happy man. The rich people have got their tzoras, the poor people have got their tzoras, the middle class have got their... No one is happy. Of course, we're talking about the world and no one's found any happiness. Well, what's going on here? Hashem messed up. He made a terrible world. So this is he's making a big mistake. Of course, Prophet created a beautiful world. Or Bekina Kovar and Taga Moitzes Adam in Oilam. Out of this beautiful world that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created, those three things take a person out of Hashem's world and put him in another world. No, that world's not a pleasant place to be. It's a horrible place to be. I've been involved in the last few weeks, just here and there, just even superficially, more superficially, less superficially, in certain conflicts. What do they call them? Dine Torah or whatever. You know, neighbors, this, that, whatever. I mean, it gave me a fright. how much this wanting what somebody else has got can destroy a person's life. There's a famous maaser that said in Brisk, by the Brisk Gedayin of Simcha Zeli Griga. He once said it in Torah, It started with the psak. He once said the butcher came to him with an animal. And he checked the animal out and it was trachy. He promised he couldn't find a way of being mad to this animal. Reb Simcha Zelig was legendary for spending up the whole night with a chicken, trying to find ways to matter a chicken even. And he couldn't. He battled through and he couldn't find a way to matter this animal. And in those days it was a serious decision, because it meant panasa for the person. He's panasa. He couldn't go off and sell it to the Muslims down the road for halal or whatever and get his money back, some of it back. You know, today there's ways of dealing with non-kosher animals, but in those days it meant no panasa. 1500 ruble animal, whatever. He passed with his parcel, straight, and the guy was in the cupboard and accepted him off he went. 2 weeks later, this guy was involved in a din Torah with somebody else, over 75 rubles. And it's because then he passed against him. He passed him to the other guy, and the guy went mad. He started screaming at the guy and shouting at the beast and going through the town and talking Lashon Hara about the Dayan and whatever. So he went to Reb Chaim Brisker. And he said to him, I don't understand. Last week I traded the guy's animal for 1,500 rubles, the whole panasa for the year, and he had the guy didn't say, well, his mom's recovered, accepted, was very happy. Today, I pass him a 75 ruble, which is not that much money, din Torah against him, and the guy, mamash, I'm like the worst, I'm his worst enemy. What happened here? So Chaim says, very poshut. In the first case, he lost his money, but no one else got it. Here, the problem's not that he lost the 75 rubles, the problem is the other guy got it. That he can't tolerate. That I don't have it, that's fine, that I can live with. That I don't have a Ferrari, that's fine. But if your next door neighbor get one, that I'm not prepared to live with. That's not the same. That's what kinah is. Kinah is, I want something because the other guy's got it. I want it because he's got it. We see it starts right in the beginning of the Torah. We see it starts with Cain v'Hevel. Cain v'Hevel, because I'll tell us that Cain's problem was jealousy. He was jealous. And of course, Baruch Hu gives us the cure. He tells him. Of course, Baruch Hu tells Cain. Yichel Cain ma'od v'yiplu ponov. Cain was very, very upset because Hashem accepted Hevel's offering. Very, very broken. V'yiplu ponov. V'yemer Hashem al Cain. Hashem says to him, Lama charalach? V'lama naflu panecha? Why? What are you so upset about it? What's getting to you so badly here? Hello, imitative says, if you want, just improve. What's your problem? So you came in second. What's the problem? If you want to improve, improve. Imitative, lepeta chotas rebets. And if you don't, you know what's going to happen? Sin's going to lurk at your door. You're going to get immersed in sin. Ve'elechet shukosoi v'atatim shogot. If you get caught up in this thing called jealousy, there's a way out of it. Improve. And if you improve, you'll succeed. And if you don't, then what's lurking at the door? Terrible sin. Rashi tells us that someone is not samach b'chelkoi. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah Pekavos, the Yom Perek Dalet tells us, Eizu asher samach b'chelkoi. Who's the rich man? Who's the asher? Samach b'chelkoi. That's not one of the ways to asheris. It's the only way. There's only one way to Ashiris, the Mishnah tells us, and that's to be Samach Bechelke. Samach Bechelke. Rashi tells us, and if not, you'll come to Gezel. You'll eventually come to Ritzicha. Person's not Samach Bechelke, eventually come to Znusa, says there. Someone who's not Samach Bechelke, he feels a lack, he feels what he's lacking. Ashiris is Shleimus. Someone who's an Oshir is someone who's Sholem, he's not lacking anything. So he never wants to draw anything to him from somebody else. Somebody who feels he's lacking is always going to want to draw things to him that he's not his. So he's going to stand up in Zayla, and he's going to land up there, and he's going to do all sorts of avarice. That's what Hashem's telling Cain. You've got a jealousy problem, and if you don't deal with it, eventually it's going to plunge you deeper and deeper into sin. It'll start with a few white lies, and then it'll begin with a few gray area gnevas, and then eventually, the Torah is Yorev L'Soif Dayit, and eventually it'll come to Ritzicha. But how are you supposed to stop this? How's a person supposed to stop and say, one second, I don't want what he wants, but I do. He's got a beautiful house and whatever, and I'm living in a whatever, and how am I supposed to say, well, I don't want it? I mean, we're supposed to pretend? So I think the mice is like this. And this is why it's such a serious affair, and this is why it's the most important of the Ten Commandments. Somebody wants what somebody else has got is living with a fundamental lack of belief in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He denies the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to everybody exactly what he needs, when he needs it and how he needs it, and that it's for the good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do any bad. There's no bad being done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And nobody has anything that didn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I don't have the next door neighbor's house, that's because it's not good for me. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that it's like wanting somebody else's glasses prescription. You want his spectacle prescription. You're not going to be able to see properly. Yeah, but I like a number 4. I'm a minus 3.8 and he's a minus 4 and I want to be a minus 4. But you're not a minus 4, so why would you get somebody's glasses? It's a minus 4, a plus 4, I don't have those. You want what he's got, but it's not good for you. How do you know it's not good for you? Because it was good for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give it to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives us what's good. He only gives us what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And we have everything we need in order to do what we're supposed to do. We're not lacking anything. We are Sholem. That's our Sameach Bechelkoi. Ezo Asher Sameach Bechelkoi. He is Sholem. And he knows he's Sholem. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he's Sholem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only giving him everything that he needs when he needs it. And it's exactly Meduyak. It's worked out to the nth degree that it's exactly what he needs. Based on what's in the past, what based on the future. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us things because of what we've done in the past and he needs to sort us out. Sometimes it's because of what needs to come out in the future. It's not always for what's going to happen now. It could be things that are coming out in the future. The famous Maisa by Baruch Chaim Volozhin. There was a Jew called Ramesha Soloveitchik, was a lumber merchant, very big gvir, very wealthy man. And he used to give enormous amounts of stock, and he was beloved by everybody. And one day he lost everything. He lost everything. And the community was in an uproar. How could it be? Such a nadiv lev, and such a beloved person who only cared about other people, whatever. And he lost everything. So the people eventually came to the conclusion that the only thing they could find that he was wrong, he was giving more than 20%. He was giving away too much stock. So Rav Chaim Volozhin said, don't be too quick to judge. You don't know. We don't know things for spoilers. We don't know why he took away his money. We don't know why he had money in the first place. We don't know anything about this. Wait and see what will be. What did this year do? He didn't have what to do. Business was finished. So he started learning. He sat and he learned. And he found he had a mamasha. You know, he came and he joined a koil for balabatim in Brisk. And he started learning. And eventually he realized, you know what? There's something here. I've got a bit of talent. I can learn. And he learned to learn. He became a big Talmud Chacham. He became a big Talmud Chacham. Who was this? This was the Zayd of the Beis Halevi. He's the grandfather of the Beis Halevi. Said Reb Chaim Volozhin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the whole Brisker dynasty, the Beis Halevi, Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rov, Adai Yom Hazeh, to come from this Jew. But it's not mechubadik that such a dynasty will come from somebody. So he took away his money, whatever, turned him into a massive Talmud Chacham, and from him came the Brisker dynasty. So you look at this yid and you see, wow, he's just lost all his money, it's terrible, it's bad news, whatever. No, it's not bad news, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen. There's not anything happening that's not ultimate for the good, and we have to internalize and say, no, this, even though it looks bad, sometimes it can be painful. But if it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can't be bad. It can be bitter sometimes, but it can't be bad. Wanting what somebody else has demands this. It's a total ache of imunin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want what he has, but it's not good for you. Why would you want something that somebody else has got? It's not good for you. If we could internalize this message, then do you know how much strife, and do you know how much sin is chinam, and do you know how much just our own eternal health and well-being and simchas achayim would improve? Children, shiduchim, panasa, it's in every area. Health, every area. There's not an area where this is not shaykh. I mentioned to you guys in the shiur the other day, I was almost blown away by this insight. He lives in Tifrach, he's got a father who's a Holocaust survivor. Went through the camps, he's written books about them. One of the few people that actually spoke about it, experienced, written books. Big Talmud Chacham, he's a Machaber Svarim. And at one of the Holocaust on Yom HaShoah, they had these asifot, whatever, so he went to one of these Holocaust gatherings or whatever, and afterwards somebody asked him, can you explain to me, Rabbi Adler, how did you stay from after all you went through? After all you went through, you saw what was going on. How did you maintain your betochen? How did you carry on being from? So he said, why are you asking me? He said, when you walk into a room and there's a well person and a sick person, you don't go to the well person and say to him, why are you well? You go to the sick person and say, how did you get sick? He said, I'm normal. The ones that left the Kodesh Baruch Hu are the sick ones. Go ask them how they left. He said, I was brought up knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and everything he does for the good, even though we don't understand. So I went through the Holocaust knowing that everything's happening is for the good, even though we don't understand it. So why would I lose my emunah in Hashem? I'm a healthy guy. There's nothing wrong with me. Go ask the guys that left the Kodesh Baruch Hu how they left. And obviously, we don't stand here judging people who went through the Holocaust. We have no right to even begin to understand what they went through. We don't judge it. But he went through it, and that's what he said. As me spoil, here's a Yid who's living what we're trying to achieve. You think he could be jealous? You think a Jew like that could ever be jealous of anything? You went through the Holocaust fully intact. You emunah and betochen fully intact. You think you'd want what somebody else has got? You don't want what anybody else has got because everything I have is perfect. I'm not lacking anything. And by the way, there's applies in Ruchnis as well. Without getting into the sugya of Kina Seifrim, but this works in Ruchnis as well. Everything that I have in Ruchnis, all the talent I have, whether it's a good talent, whether it's strong, whether I have to work 5 times harder than my chavrusa to understand a sugya, or 10 times harder, whatever. Everything I have is biduk, exactly what I need. My memory, my kishreinus, my understanding, it's all me. How much effort I put in, that's up to me. You have to decide. But what you're achieving and the results you're achieving and how does a bocher get depressed because he's not achieving? Because of this nakuda. He thinks it's him. His chavrus is much cleverer than him. Oh, so I'm not cut out for learning, so he leaves. What are you talking about? Who made you stupid? Who made you clever? Oh, why are you stupid and he's clever? Because this is what you need. How do you know? Because otherwise you wouldn't have it. It wouldn't be yours. And Hashem's telling Cain. And by the way, this is Yosef and the brothers as well. There's a shtikel kina there. And it runs through the whole Torah. Wherever you see Klal Yisrael in trouble, whenever you see Merivot, whenever you see Klal Yisrael not ba'achtas, there's this nekuda. He's got something that I want. It's not that I don't have it. But he shouldn't have it. Why has he got it? I want it. I mean, to say it in really harsh terms, it's the person would change himself if he could. He's not happy with himself. If it's kacha, just with the articles around us, then even more so me as a person. If I would have to recreate myself, I wouldn't create myself the way Hashem created me right now. I would give myself different things. I would want different things. I would give myself different talents. I would give myself koyches. I'm not happy with who I am. You're not happy with who you are. So how are you going to be happy with anybody else? How are you going to be able to influence the next generation to follow you? Why would anyone follow someone who's miserable and not happy with himself? If we want to hand this over to the next generation, so they have to see that this is something that's, you know, Eizu Ashir, the person's walking around feeling a little bit together. Once again, not asking for perfection, but the sugya has to be learnt, and it needs constant chizuk. Habakkuk came along and said that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be one sugya that you're going to have to hold on to very tight, and this is what you're going to survive with. Tzadik be'emunos chayichye. You'll live in emunah. You're going to have to get this soon enough to get it clear because everything else is going to be stripped away. And we see it happening. Everything that the value systems that we took so seriously, and even Yidden that didn't have Yiddishkeit 50 years ago, 60 years ago, had a value system that today, even with Torah, it's hard to maintain that level of morality. And it's all being stripped away, and the only thing that a person can hold on to is the simunah. Like the Midrash says, Hashem says, before Mashiach comes, he's going to take a thin string, and he's going to tie it around the world, and he's going to put Malachim on either side to shake it very hard, and that string's called Emunah, and your job is just to hold on. Hold on. In the face of open riots that we're wrong, in the face of clear expressions in the world that we're completely wrong. The Midrash says there's going to be open riots that we're wrong. A person has to hold on tight. You can't do that if you haven't worked on it. You can't do it if you don't have time set aside for this. The same as you can't learn the Siddur during davening, and you can't prepare the Pesach Haggadah during the Seder. You have to do a little bit of a Chana before. A person's not working this sugya. A person's not learning Hilchos Betochen and Hilchos Emunah, putting some time into it. Whether it's listening to your shiur while you're driving, whether it's learning Chavos HaLevavot, whatever it is, I don't know. But a person who's not learning the sugya is not in the sugya, like the Chofetz Chaim says. Somebody's not learning Hilchos Shabbos. It's mamele, it's a Mechal Shabbos. You can't. Somebody who doesn't learn Hilchos Shabbos can't keep Shabbos. It's too complex. Person is learning Shabbos. It's someone who's not learning Betochen and understanding the sugya properly. But Amkes, but Eon, not just up in the sky, going into it and working and coming back and understanding it and grappling with it. So it's not Shaykh when the Nisayinus come that he'll respond the way a Baal Betochen is supposed to respond. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to set aside time, whether it's every day, whether it's once a week, whatever. At some point, to try and understand and learn the sugya. It's a difficult sugya. It's a fascinating sugya. And you'll encounter amazing things along the journey. You'll have to grapple with sugyas called ishtadlus, and you're going to have to grapple with sugyas called tefillah. If it's true what I'm saying, so why dover? If I'm shalom and I have everything I need, and I'm not chaseh anything, and Hashem's only going to give me what's good, so why bother davening? Well, so you're going to have to put your head into that sugya and understand that. Many, many fascinating sugyas along this journey. But the most precious reward of all of it is our life stopping petty. We stop getting caught up in silly little nonsenses and silly quibbles and silly little fights and arguments with the next door neighbor or the boss or the partner or whatever. But the things, if you look at it, you'll see most of it's caused by the fact that I don't want him to have it. If a person's having a rough time and he finds out that someone else is having the same rough time, it kind of makes him feel better. That's kind of crooked, but that's the way it is. That's the way we are. A friend brings down the most terrifying story. End with this, but it's a pachad story that in our generation, I'm talking about 1,000 years ago, there was a Jew who was on a life support system. He was plugged into machines and he was on his last legs, like they say. And he was very depressed and very miserable and whatever. One day his kids came to visit him. He was quite cheery. He was like quite upbeat and quite perky. I'm scared to even say these words, except a friend said them, so he could say them. And I heard Rabbi Yitzchak Shana say he's one of the purest people I've ever met in my life, so if he can say it, I can say it. But it's like hard to even say the story. They asked him, well, Abba, why are you so chirpy today? What happened? You know, what, you won the lottery? What exactly, what's going to you? He said, no, you remember Yankele? I had a partner many years ago, Yankele, and he cheated me and whatever. And you know how much time I was there for I had from it? I just heard today he died in a car crash. He hasn't gone on a life support system. He doesn't have much longer to go. He's on the verge of saying vidui. And he's miserable and he's depressed and whatever. What cheers him up? That's how perverted this can become. Cain kills Hevel, the whole story with Yosef and the brothers. It runs through the whole of our lives. It's there the whole time, and we have control over it. Why is Lo Sachmut such a terrible aveira? Why is it the most important of all of them? Because it's connected to the first one, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. If there's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, we understand that Akash Boch is the one that runs the world, and he controls the world, and he's in charge of everything. Then how could you want what somebody else wants? Has got. It's not good for you. We want what's good for us. The minute you understand that what he's got is not good for you, then you don't want it anymore, because nobody wants what's not good for them. We all want what's good for us. If I'm number one, then I'm number one. I want what's good for me. I don't want what's bad for me. And knowing that it's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, no, that this is the best thing for me, not to have it. So therefore, I wouldn't want what anybody else has got. Lo sachmud, when you want what somebody else has got, you're basically denying the most fundamental principle of Yiddishkeit, and that is Anima min be'emun shleim, shaboyer is boch shmoy, hu boyeru manig l'kol abruim, v'ose v'yase, v'ose v'ose v'yase, is kol amasim. It's the first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. Lo sachmud is the denial of the first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And the only cure that I'm aware of, if anyone's got a cheaper cure or an easier cure, I'd love to hear it, but the only one I know about is to learn the sugya. To take up a sefer, whether it's in English, wherever it is, and to work the sugya. And as Rav Pinkus used to say, you see this table, he used to speak in Hebrew, he used to say, Ataret Ashtender, they're real. You know what real is, he used to say? It's real. Our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be like this relationship with the Shtender, it has to become real. We have to include our Kodesh Baruch Hu into our decision-making processes, into our discussions, into our conversations. He has to become an etzem part of our lives. You can't live with our Kodesh Baruch Hu in theory and up in the Shemaim and expect to withstand these nisoinus. The more you bring our Kodesh Baruch Hu into our lives, the more Kodesh Baruch Hu becomes real, the more it becomes an integral part of my relationship. As a balabos in Johannesburg once told me, he says, I walk with our Kodesh Baruch Hu hand in hand. And he meant it. Those who know this balabos knows he meant it. I walk with our Kodesh Baruch Hu hand in hand. Therefore, these nisoinus don't bother me. I once arrived in South Africa, I was there for 3 days, and I didn't bother renting a car, because for 3 days, whatever, just wasn't worth the hassle, whatever, and I knew I could get around. Off the shuffle, he came up to me, gave me the keys of his car, he said, as long as you're here, there's my car, take it. I said, what are you talking about? You don't need a car? He said, why do I have a car more than you? What, you think Akash Boker gave me a car and he didn't give you a car? Why should I have a car and you not have a car? Well, you think, I said, yeah, but you bought it, you paid for it. He said, no, Akash Boker gave me a car to use when somebody else doesn't need it. You need it, so you use it. When you finish, give it back to me and we'll see who needs it afterwards. It's not my car. I said to him, how do you do that? He said, what do you mean? I walk with a Kodesh Baruch Hu hand in hand. We walk together hand in hand, and that's how we go. Fine, okay. That's something to strive for. That's a nice ideal. But in the meantime, no, but know that a balabos can do such a thing. Not such a posh balabos, but there is such a thing. There is such a thing of being real with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, walking with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, talking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, asking him eitzes, living with him. And when you live like that, your life becomes a different place. We're not caught up in the pettiness, in the smallness, in the childishness. Children are jealous. Children are jealous. You don't tell a child, stop being jealous. You know, beat jealousy out of a child. It's not going to work. Children are naturally, they draw things to themselves. As we grow up and we get a bit more mature, these nakudas have to be understood and have to be worked on. So I hope I haven't overstepped my bounds here. I said I would finish by 10. Look, Daniel and I have been learning Shara B'Tochen for a long time already. Very, very long time. I want to tell you, when he went through his Nisoy now, I saw it coming out. I saw the way he was dealing with it. That the effort that he put into learning the sugya and understanding the sugya and battling through the sugya, when the nisoyin came, he handled it, and the family handled it, and there was a shpor down to the family, the way they took it, the way they handled it. It was a big chizuk for me. And it made me realize, and that's why I wanted to speak about this today, it made me realize how important it is to just set aside time and learn this very, very important subject. Tzadik ben Menasseh Yizkhe, if that's Bo Chabukuk Amar Alachas, from all the nekudas and all the yisoidas of the Torah, there's one nekuda that's ma'amir al achas. So then it's incumbent upon us to make the effort to try at least in the base midrash environment, how much impact we'll have on the community, I don't know, but at least here, amongst the Bnei Torah, to at least become more and more sensitive to this area.